I like your tie. He's making fun of it. I think it's lovely.
I ain't making fun of it. I just know what it represents.
Well, I know. Lord, we just thank you for Malcolm and his diligence and his honor to you to help us honor you. We thank you for his words. We know they come straight from you, and if we ever question it, then that's our problem, because God has given him that gift.
Yes.
And I thank you for him and Kathy and his whole family.
Yes.
And I just ask that this year, for all of us, we will listen more to what he has to say, and we'll take it in. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Wow. Everything that's been said has, because I've, was in the Word and I was putting the Word together as the Lord was speaking some things to me, and then to hear things that people said and the songs that were sung and all of that, to me, I can I very quickly go, oh wow, this is fantastic. All this fits together, and I hear these little things as songs were being sung and people were speaking, and so I'm excited, and I know that the Lord has this very good word for us. It's going to start out, you're going to think, oh no, here we go again. But it's going to really take a turn here. I want to start out talking about really the bad side of something first. And that is, we know that the Scripture says that in the last days, perilous times will come. And it's times of stress, it's a time of trouble. In other parts of the Scripture it says this. It says that it's a time of sorrows, it's a time of tremendous peril. And we look, you've heard this so much, and we look at what's happening in the world and we see that, we are in that kind of a time. And we can't get around it, and it's a pretty awful thing. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 24, and we're going to look at a scripture and come at what it says in a little bit of a different way. Matthew 24. And then I'm going to want you to hold your place there in Matthew 24, and then I'm going to go to a different scripture, and then we're coming back to Matthew 24, so you don't have to be jumping around. But in Matthew 24, verse 8, is one of these is a description of where Jesus is saying what it's going to be like at the end of the age. And it says here in verse 8, we're just going to read this one single verse. It says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Okay? All these things are the beginning of sorrows. All the nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom and the pestilences and the earthquakes and all the famines. All these things are just the beginning. Of sorrows. Now that can really put a real damper on our spirits. That can, if we're not careful, can give us fear. It can make us throw our hands up in the air and not know what to do and all of that. And it's very easy. I don't know if when you watch TV, if you listen to any of the news, don't you sometimes feel just so totally? You want to do something, but you don't know what you can do.
That's right.
It doesn't look like there's anything that we as little people can do. And yet there is. And yet there is a way that in this time of trouble, in this time of peril, in this time of terror, in this time where all of these negative, dark, black, wrong, evil things are going on in this world, there is a way to find our way through. Now, I want you to hold on to Matthew 24. I'm going to go back
to Proverbs chapter 22 and read a verse that has become very dear to me, and because I'm always getting something more out of this. And it's Proverbs 22:3. You don't have to turn there. It says this: a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Now, I just want to say that this word foresee means to be able to view. That means you see it ahead of time. You have the discernment to see that can piece things together and go, wow, if this and this is happening, then this is the next thing that's coming down in the pike. Right. That kind of thing. You get it? And it says there that a prudent person, a wise person, a person that is circumspect, is connected with what's going on. They understand what's going on. Right? You have to see what's going on to be able to know what's going on, right? And to see what that's going to lead to. And it says that, last week I think that the theme as we go through this year is going to be being people of vision. Okay? Now, there's a particular vision that the Lord gave me to speak on today. And it's not a prophetic vision. Vision, that word can mean prophetic vision, but seeing, prophetic seeing, but also means to understand things. To have a vision means you understand what's out there in front of you. Understand yourself, and that's what we talked about last week. So now I want to get to another aspect of vision here, and you'll see what it is as I build up to it. So the word evil here, a prudent man foresees evil. Well, that word means calamity, affliction, hurt, trouble, sorrows. Yeah. So in the end time, there are going to be prudent people that are going to be able to piece things together because they're connected with God and they're sensitive to what He's saying and what He leads us to do. And those are going to be prudent people that are going to be able to see what is happening and piece the things together and know what to do. Now, in this case, in this scripture, it says that he hides himself, which means hide by covering, to be absent, to be concealed, or to keep something secret. So we'll talk more about that later in some other message, but that isn't what I want to talk about. But it does talk about this time of sorrow. So I want you to go back now to Matthew 24. And we read verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, if you jump down to verse 13, it says this: but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. You know, there's an endurance that we're in. Do you understand that?
Yes.
We need to endure to the end, whatever that end is, whether it's the time of death or it's the time of the rapture, whatever that is. We're to endure unto the end. Amen? How many people saw the movie Unbroken? Unbroken? Better be. I know these people did. Nobody else on this side? Nobody saw Unbroken yet?
I read it.
You read it? Yeah. Now, this movie is about... it's a true story, and it's about a former American Olympic athlete in the 1936 Olympics who, after World War II started, got involved in the war, a young man, and there was a number of different themes involved in it, but one of the things that his older brother said to him was, if you can take it, you can make it.
You get that? If you can take it, in other words, if you can endure, if you set your mind to endure whatever is out there in front of you, then you can make it. It's kind of like that verse we just read. If you can endure unto the end, you will be saved. You'll make it. You'll be rescued. You get it? And so endurance has something that we want to talk about. And the problem is, and when I think about it, I'm not so good at that. The human nature is not so good at doing that. We can very easily be whiners, allow the darkness to overtake us, not see the sunshine because of the clouds. Yeah, aren't we like that? Something happens and we get down in the mouth and nothing ever goes good for me. You know how you can turn, your mind can turn like that? You know, where several instances maybe in a row makes you think God's against me I'll never be friends with that person, or this situation's not going to work out, and you close yourself right down instead of, like we were talking about there, you know, this positive, speak life, right?
Yes.
That whole concept. So this is important for us that it isn't going to happen because we're just human and we have the strength to do it in ourselves. It is going to be because of Jesus, isn't it? The Spirit of God within us. So, and I think we all recognize that. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Because this is going to be the key for us walking through the end times with all of the peril and all of the terror and all of the bad things that are happening. And these things aren't going to be just concepts. Terror as a concept doesn't mean anything to you unless some terror happens to you or somebody that you love. Then it becomes very, very poignant, doesn't it? And there's going to be lots of things that are going to be happening when bad financial situations start happening. When it's happening over in another part of the world, we feel sorry for those people, but it doesn't really make a connection until it happens with us. And I want to say that it looks like foreseeing and putting pieces together that there are things coming on this country. Yeah?
Yes.
And so we want to be ready for it. We want to be prepared for that. And the best way that we're going to be prepared is to be found in Christ, right? Well, that means that can just be so general to us. Oh, yeah, okay, I'll be found in Christ. Well, what does that mean? Or when you say, well, Jesus is just going to take care of me. What does that mean? Do you understand that? Because with a sentence like that, you just wash aside any further hearing that you need to do to hear what the Lord is speaking to you and to touch you in your heart where you need to be touched. Now, I want to talk about something that's really important. If you can endure to the end, you'll be saved. If you can take it, then you're going to make it. Okay? One thing that I've read in lots of different areas is that a mental toughness, you've got to have it up here. And you have to have that positive outlook. You need to know that you're going to make it to the end. If you're not mentally tough for a game, how about the Patriots yesterday? They're down by 14 points, they come back. They go down 14 more points and back, and they come back and end up winning the game. Now that is mental toughness. If you would look at the whole situation, if you and I were playing in that game without being under the coaching of Belichick or some of the other coaches there, we might not have had the mental toughness. We would have said, geez, here we are down again. We climb back up out of that hole, and we get smacked down again. We're not going to win this game. How can we win? We're hardly scratching. And then something happens, and things turn right around. Can that happen in your life?
Yes.
In areas where you feel like you've been trumped on, or you don't have the ability to handle particular situations, that God could not, by you being mentally tough and believing in something and standing on God's promises, that you might be able to get through if you endure to the end and you don't give up on God. Right?
Right.
I hope you're getting this. So, Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 2. Because isn't this what we're supposed to do? Looking unto Jesus. Talk about vision. Talk about the very key thing that we're going to do to survive through this perilous time. Is to look unto Jesus. That's where our vision needs to be, isn't it? Now listen, look at what it says about it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Why did Jesus endure the cross?
For us.
No, what's it say right there?
The joy that was set.
Because he had joy. What? What? For the joy that was set before him. If something's set before him, that's a vision.
That's right.
Isn't it? You don't know where you're going unless, how can you get someplace if you don't know where you're going? He had a vision. He saw what was going to be accomplished by him enduring what he had to endure. It was because of the joy that was set before him. In other words, it was this vision of joy, this vision of what was going to happen because of what he was going to do. Wow. And it was going to be a joyful thing. You know, in one of the in the song that Audrey picked out, I wrote it down while it was being sung. You know, that Speak Life. There was one little section that said this: speak life and joy will fall like rain. That was in that song. Wow, that's kind of interesting. that would be there. And that today, that certain people talked about joy in the opening prayer, Steve. We were in praying before the service, and we had a big crowd that decided to come in and pray with us, and so we're all together, and we finish up, and Steve says, "You guys feel there's this big feeling of joy?" You said, "What was that, Steve?"
Yeah.
Something like that. Anyway, he says, "I just feel like there's a spirit of joy." And so everybody, we filed out, and I said to Steve, well, that's because that's what the message is on today. Now, isn't that something? You know, that God wants to make a very, very strong point here, that at the very heart of what we have to do to be prudent in the time of evil and the time of sorrows and the time of trouble that's all around us, that at the very heart of it is we have to have a joy that's set before us. Because if we're to look to Jesus, and then the very next thing that's said is, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, well, we have some things to endure. If we're going through a time of stress, it says that, doesn't it? In the last days, the last days will be times of stress. It will be times of peril. It will be times of terror. It will be times of sorrows. You know, all these bad things. And people don't want to hear that. Of course we don't want to hear that. But you know, if we have a joy that is set before us, we can endure what we have to endure. Isn't that great? That's what it says for Jesus. And we're supposed to look to Jesus. Okay?
All right. So I just want to go through a couple things here with you. Let me see if I said everything I wanted to. Yep. Okay. So, vision of joy. Psalm 16:11 says, "In his presence is fullness of joy." Right? In his presence is fullness of joy. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, I'm not quite sure what verse it is, something like, I don't know, 15, 16, 17, 18, somewhere in there. It says that when the rapture happens, that we will ever be with the Lord. And so we're always going to be in his presence. And when that happens, we're going to always be joyful. Because in his presence is fullness of joy. Right? Now, to know that whatever we might have to suffer in this life can't compare to being with him. That's a joy that can be set out there in front. What, you know, no matter what happens to us, well, whether I live or die, I'm going to be with the Lord. There will come a time when I'm going to see him face to face. And I'm going to be with this one that I love. Right? You're going to be with the Lord. I think that's probably going to be the number one thing that helps us get through. No, if I have to go through this, Lord, then I have to go through whatever it is that we have to go through. But I love you, Lord, and I know that someday I'm going to be with you. Don't you think that can help you get through some things? Isn't that a light at the end of a dark tunnel? And don't we have to do that? You know, if we focus on the darkness rather than the light, then we get consumed by that darkness. And it's fearful and all these bad things happen to us. There has to be that vision of joy, that vision out there. And the very big thing about joy is that in his presence is fullness of joy. And for us to know that we're going to be in his presence forever. We will ever, ever be with the Lord. There's no way that that something is going to happen that's going to take us away from being with God. Isn't that something good? You know, I wrote down this thought. We are going to be with the object of our affection, who's Jesus. We're going to be with him. He is the object of our affection. We owe him everything. We owe him salvation. We owe him all that he's provided for us. All right? Now, what goes along with that, and this was talked about a lot too, is this whole thing of love. And I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 3, and it says this, starting in verse 17. Ephesians 3:17. I'm going to read up to 20. And it says this, "That Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may comprehend, understand, have a vision of." Do you get that? You get this? "With all the saints, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height?" And if you know that there is no, that God is boundless, just think that there's a boundless new world that we, at the time of death or at the time of the rapture, are going to enter into. Boundless. You think that might give you some joy in your heart? Okay, I'm suffering now, but boy, is there something fantastic out there in front of us, out there in front of me.
No, either you believe it or you don't. I mean, if you're doubting it, then you know, you don't receive the result of that, you know. But if you believe this, it's this joy that's set before us that is going to make us tough as nails. Don't you think? And then it goes on and says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Well, if in his presence is fullness of joy, and, you know, to know, and this was talked about, he is the object of our affection, but guess what? We are the object of his. He loves us way more than we can even understand or love him back. He loves us. That kind of knowledge, to click into that, to see through experience and the reading of the Word that, you know, God loves us. How many of you believe that God loves you? You believe that, don't you? And there's reason for that. You don't believe it just because you believe it. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Right? So you have evidence. You have evidence in this word, and you have evidence in the things that have happened to you, and how God covered you in certain situations, and how God forgave you, and how God is always there for you. And we know this, don't we? By experience, as well as by the knowledge of the Word. So we know that this is true. And I'll tell you, it's this kind of vision, this joyful vision of God's love for us and our love for Him, that is going to be that guarding thing that helps us to endure what's out there in front of us. I'm not afraid. Are you afraid? Well, maybe you are. I don't know. But I'm not afraid when I'm thinking that way. There's no fear in me. When you're thinking that way, there's no fear in you. What happens is, as we're going down that darn dark tunnel, we look at the circumstances and mentally lose sight of what's at the end. And this is what's important for us, to be that mentally tough, to be that spiritually strong, that we don't allow the things that are around us, that are pinching in on us, and want to bring us fear, and want to bring us down and discouraged, to be what we're looking at. But that we keep our focus at the end of the road. Yeah. Deal with the present, and you can deal with it because you have a vision of what's out in front of you. Right? This is what's important about having that vision. It gives you the direction. It gives you the hope. It gives you the strength. It gives you the joy. And this is how it's framed in the Word of God. Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. That really just hit me so strongly this week. Now, I'm going to just jump back a couple chapters in Ephesians. Ephesians 1, 5. This is a joy, I think, that we should think about. And that's this. Ephesians 1, 5. He, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Whatever happens in this life, we Christians, he already thinks of us as his children. You know how wonderful family can be? If you've come from a really great family, What a wonderful thing that is. Or if you belong here. Don't you feel? I feel so blessed. I'll tell you what. Yesterday, and this is happening to me every time, every single time we get together. I feel so blessed that I have you. You're my family. And it's a beautiful, family is a beautiful thing. And the scripture tells us we're inherited as children. God has transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son. We're his children. And it's a wonderful family. And that's where I want to stay. And I don't want the things of this world to get in the way of me enjoying now and in the future this beautiful thing that we have. Now, yesterday, I don't remember what part of the it wasn't the ceremony. It was during the reception time, and I was sitting over there and with Kathy, and I don't know if people were eating yet. I don't remember exactly now what it was, but I was just looking it out at everybody, and I was thinking, oh man. But this is so beautiful, and what hit me was, and it was like a vision of the future. We're going to be feasting together. We're going to have these fantastic feasts of joy and love in the kingdom of God. Do you know how that can help you for now? When you know that that's out ahead of you? Wow. Feasts. I was just enjoying people, the way they were interacting with each other. You know, you see people talking and laughing, and some people were eating, so it must have been when, you know, and people were eating, and I'm thinking, wow, this is just a little tiny microcosm of what it's going to be like to be in that kingdom. Oh, I can't wait for that kingdom to get here. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Yeah. You know, let's get out of this dark age and let's get into yours, where there are no more tears or sorrow or any such dark thing. That is out there in front of us, and having that helps us to deny temptations, to desire to walk more rightly because of what he has given us as an inheritance. The goodness of God leads us to repentance, it says in Romans 2:4. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. And I think that that's really true for people that are moving more and more closely to him. It's not because we're afraid of God's punishment, because we've already passed that. And Heather addressed that very thing. You know, our sins have already been nailed to the cross. He's already done all of that. And he is ever making intercession for us right now. Every time that we make our stupid little sinful thoughts, actions, whatever it is, he is there between the Father and us to say, look at my blood. My blood covers them. We are, which doesn't make me feel like, oh, I can go out and do whatever I want to now. No. The goodness of God makes me want to change. It makes me want to say, no, Lord, you are so good, you are so loving, you are so faithful, you are so gracious that I want to respond back to you. Not with any kind of ability that I have even. Give me the ability to do what you want me to do. And you know what? When you ask, he gives you. He does. I can say that from experience. I know that is so true. So, I don't know if there's...
Nothing.
Oh, yeah, there was one other point. Go ahead.
The little snippet. I encourage you to relax in God's love. Learn to receive God's love.
Think about it, thank Him for it, and watch for the manifestation of it in your daily life. God shows His love for us in many ways, but we are often unaware of it. He loves us first so we can love Him and other people.
Yeah.
God never expects us to give away something that He has not given to us first.
Right.
His love is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and He wants us to live before Him in love. Let love in, let it out. You are destined to be a channel for God to flow through, and not a reservoir that merely sits and collects things.
Yeah.
You are special, yes. And God has a special plan for you. Get excited about that and rejoice.
Excellent.
And that's going to lead in, really, to the next point that I have. But I wanted to this whole thing about love and response to Jesus and thinking about His love for us as a light at the end of the tunnel for us is along with that concept is, you know, with love. If somebody says love, normally the next word that comes into your mind is marriage.
Love and marriage.
Very good. Like the whole sense, Cameron. You know, love, God's love, the scripture tells us that the bride of Christ, the church, is going to be married to the
yes.
Lord.
You and said everything I've been written down here, and I was going to say it.
Well,
because when you said we have the object of
his
affection, yes, I thought, oh, yeah, just like Whitney and Ben when they got married, you can just see in the kisses, like, boy, you couldn't wait to get to that kiss.
I couldn't wait to get to that part either.
And that's why we are Christ's bride.
Yes.
Because we are the object of his affection.
We're the object of his affection. Isn't that beautiful? It is. Oh, nice. It is, Lane. It's, if we just open up our minds to that, it's so beautiful what the Lord has in store for us. And I was going to say that very thing, you know, when the marriage was going on, that was something in my mind where I'm thinking in terms of vision, of joy, you know, that which can help me. We're going to be married to the Lord. We're going to ever be with the Lord. We're going to love Him unrestrained, and He's going to love us back. What a nice vision that is. And then what we have in this life are these marriage ceremonies.
Yeah.
And Dwayne alluded to that when he was saying in his message about how marriage, this is a type of what marriage is really all about, which is Christ in the church. He even mentioned that. And just look at a bride and her mate, you know. Looking in Whitney's face yesterday while they were dancing, and really Ben's too, but Whitney just has this glow, you know, that was just there, just beaming. And of course, I've noticed that for all of the brides, that there's just beaming. It's beaming. And there's happiness, there's joy. And we have a wedding feast. That's going to be, and that feast is never ending, like I was saying. It's never going to end. There's always going to be some joyous event that's going to be going on up in heaven. Now that leads me to this one of the last points. I don't want to promise you it is the last point. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says this.
10,000 years and then forevermore.
Oh gosh, yeah. Isn't that a great song too, huh? So keep this in mind. When things get dark, when things aren't going well, when there is trouble, when things aren't going the way that it needs to go, when things even get really bad, perilous, terrorizing, whatever, down to the lowest, rottenest thing that could ever happen, you think of this. Because it's going to be those things that are going to help us endure. It's going to be these things. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, Neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. That makes me want to hold on and endure. Because I can't even conceive of the grand things that God has in store for me. And now, and you too, right? In other words, there is a grander purpose. You and I have a more greater meaning than what we think we have in this life. We can't even conceive of what God has prepared. If God has something prepared for us out there in the kingdom age and for eternity, we can't even conceive it with our little tiny minds. And it must be something fantastic, which gives us purpose. It gives us meaning. And though we might stumble around in this life and have messed up all kinds of opportunities to serve him in this life, we can turn that around right now, move on in this life, but boy, in the next, there is some grand stuff happening that we can't even understand yet. We can't even understand it. I mean, that should grab rid of a hold of your soul and your spirit and go, thank you, God. It is worth anything that I need to endure right now for that greater thing that's going to be out there where there is no more pain and sorrow and tears. There is going to be something so fantastic that it's worth whatever we have to go through right now. Paul says that in the book of Romans. I didn't even write this down. I just thought of it. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, Paul says somewhere in there, I don't know the verse, but he says that I suppose that the sufferings of this life can't even compare to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Yes. Now, what? Of this life can't even compare to the glory that's going to be revealed in you. And what do we have to do? We have to endure. And that concept can be a light at the end of this rotten, dark tunnel of this age.
Right.
And we're almost to the end now. Ready to go is right. Hallelujah. I'm gonna leave you with this one last thought, I think.
It's a dilemma when somebody says, well, if you said you had one last scripture and then you had two or three more, were you in the spirit when you said that?
You said one last scripture and then you said one last thought. So they're two different things.
Yeah, I was careful what I said. And it says this.
Where?
I'm not telling you. You have to look it up. No, it's John 10:10. It says, the thief comes not except to steal, to kill, to destroy. I am come that they might have life. And it's not just that we're living.
Right.
It says that and that they might have it more abundantly.
Right.
Abundant life. And whatever we don't get in this age, think what it's going to be like in the next. And let that give you the strength, give you the focus that you and I make it unto the end. Amen? That we endure to the end.
Because the things of this life, no matter how bad they're going to be, they can't even compare to the glory that's waiting for us. I'll tell you what, that gives me strength. And it's going to be that mental, spiritual toughness that's going to be what is going to help us get through and not be afraid and be able to look at what's going on in this world, foresee things, see what's going on, know what's happening, and not be afraid. Hallelujah. In that same thing in Romans 8, it talks about how we're not really, I'll read it. I'm sorry. I've already messed up. But I wasn't going to have you go to it. So technically I'm okay.
I was going to read it if it's the same thing that you're going to read anyway, because I just saw it.
Well, it says, 15?
No.
Romans 8:15 says, "You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." See, that's what it is, isn't it? We're in bondage to fear. But we haven't received that. It says, "But we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Hallelujah. Isn't that great?
I was going to read 37, 38,
and 39. Oh,
yeah.
Preach it. Preach it. And then verse 18 was the one I was looking for, Romans 8, 18. "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us." You might think this is some mental exercise or, here, oh, that's a nice little scripture. But I'll tell you what, if you don't ask God, "God, I want that to be real in my heart," I have to say that to the Lord, because I don't have the ability to read that and go, "Okay, now I'm going to do it. Now I'm going to believe it." No, God, by your grace, I want to move in these words so that when situations come up, I'm not groping. I'm ready, because I've made that connection with you day after day after day. Amen?
Yeah.
How important that is. All right. And so we will conclude with what Elaine was going to read. You want to read it? Go ahead and read it. Romans 8:37.
Yes. "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Say amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Can we sing that song, "The Power of His Love," I think it is, Crystal?
Power of His Love.
I'm ready.
She's finishing her.
You know,
it
was the one that goes, "And as I wait,
I'll
rise up like an angel."
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The power of His Love. Can we sing that?
Yeah.
You don't need to go. Let's want the people that have good voices lead us. Do we know the words? Well, wait a minute.
Do we have it on the overhead?
I don't know.
Yeah, can we put it on the overhead?
If we put it on the overhead, then
we all know it.
Yeah.
Well, Steve looked that up. You said you went and seen Unbroken, and then Dan said he read the book. I just bought the book and I haven't gotten to it. I haven't seen the movie. So,
spoiler alert.
Does it end at the end of World War II and him being free?
No.
It goes further.
It goes beyond.
He gets saved
with
Billy Graham.
Yeah. Oh, I watched a good special with Brenda this morning at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it had... shush up.
I get that all the time.
Zavertini's his last name or something like that, right? Zavertini.
Louis.
And it's an interview that Greta had with him, well, with Billy Graham's son, that had an interview with that gentleman. And I mean, it was just so heartwarming. I mean, he was going through a massive divorce, and his wife served him with divorce papers, and she dragged him to Billy Graham. He walked out, and he came back, And then he remembered, Billy Graham was reciting something, and he remembered the promise he made to Jesus.
Yes.
After his ship song. And I mean, it just turned his whole life around. It was such a beautiful story that this man went through. And I didn't know how far the book went or how far the movie went.
I think the book, the movie didn't go far enough.
It didn't.
Read.
Yeah. Oh. It was just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. The guy, he accepted Christ later, they had at the end of the movie, they had a real picture of the real man, the real movie. He died like a month or two after the movie was
finished. Yeah.
Is it a new release or is it on DVD?
Oh, it's
no, it's at the movies right now. Yeah. Angelina Jolie was the one that produced the movie.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
And when you see the man at the end, it just—he had—he was very elderly, and he just had this—the
joy of the Lord,
joy
didn't he?
On his face. It just—I just started crying. I couldn't help it. It was just like, how he endured. It was just.
But even in that, there had to be this forgiveness thing.
Oh.
In order, I mean, he could never have received the joy of the Lord without the forgiveness part of it. And it reminds me of Corrie Ten Boom, who was in those concentration camps, and that God had just about killed her. He was so cruel to her, and when she went out into the world and was speaking about all the things that she had gone through as a Christian, here he was in her audience, and she eyed him, and she couldn't believe that God was sitting there in the audience. She had to forgive him at that moment, or she couldn't have gone on.
Well,
so it's the same in our lives. If we can't forgive people, we're not going to go on either.
Yeah,
this gentleman
ended up going back to the prison in Japan.
Yeah, yes.
And he ended up forgiving the guy. And there was only one that he couldn't find.
And that was the main worst one.
Yeah, like the general of them all.
Yeah.
Y'all ruined the movie now. We all know it's
not the movie.
No.
Still got one. Okay, so we're going to sing this song. Crystal, you want to kind of help us get started?
And I wake up at 4 o'clock every morning.
And before we sing that song, I've got an explanation for Ronnie's baldness. Every time that his body speaks something that is profound or touching of the Lord, and he is so excited, he does this. This is so long. And he has the proof. It's not on the top of his head. But he listens to his wife. Amen.
Thank you for that insight.
You'll know what that is made of Mark when you were totally shiny too, Malcolm.
Okay, so Crystal, you want to help lead us to that?
Lord, I come to you, let my heart be changed.